It's time now for Super Psychologist, Dr. Mara Karpel, and your golden years.
Good evening and welcome to Dr. Mara Karpel and your golden years. This evening and every Sunday evening, 5 p.m. Central Time, that's 6 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on blogtalkradio.com and on drmarakarpel.com. And you can hear this evening's program again by going to my website, drmarakarpel.com, that's drmarakarpel.com, and the link to the podcast, along with all of the information, the links to websites talked about on the show, all of that will be there later tonight or early tomorrow morning. Or you can listen to the podcast as soon as 5 minutes after the show ends by going directly to Blog Talk Radio, blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears. And for information about upcoming shows and to listen to previous shows, again, go to my website, drmarakarpel.com, and blogtalkradio.com/yourgoldenyears, and follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. Want to contact me? You can email me at drmara, D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmarakarpel.com, or go through my website or give me a call at 512-626-6973. This evening's program is produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by Dr. Ronald DeVere, neurologist, memory specialist, and author of the book, Memory Loss, Everything You Want to Know But Forget to Ask. To make an appointment with Dr. DeVere at his memory clinic in Lakeway, Texas, or to purchase a copy of his book, you can call him at 512-261-7909, or you can email him at rdevere, that's R-D-E-V-E-R-E, at austin.rr.com, and his book is also available on Amazon. And this evening's program is also sponsored by the Bra Lady, Sonia Das, helping every woman have a perky day. In Austin, call Sonia at 512-898-9058 or go to haveaperkyday.com. This show is also sponsored by Storyhouse. Storyhouse gathers your stories and turns them into multimedia collections that can be shared now and for generations to come. Have Storyhouse over to conduct a private interview in your home or invite them to your next big event or family reunion. Storyhouse, where your memories live. Find out more at yourstoryhouse.com or call 512-296-8752. And today is Sunday, April 17th, and we are back live in beautiful Austin, Texas. And we are broadcasting from the Frost Bank Building on Congress Avenue in the Intelligent Office Suite. And this evening, Art Mendoza of Accomplice Entertainment, producer of the show, is with us to do the production engineering. And he'll be answering your calls if you call later with questions. So please feel free to give a call, ask your question. Be sure to say hi to Art. And if this is the first time that you're tuning in, I'm a licensed psychologist from New York City practicing here in Austin, Texas, and the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, and I work with adults of all ages and have a specialty of working with seniors and caregivers, and for the past few years have been evaluating veterans for PTSD, and most recently my office has been in the wonderful Veterans Resource Center, Heroes Night Out, which is in Cedar Park, Texas. And for information about this amazing resource for veterans and for their families, you can check out their website at heroesnightout.org. Okay, so we have another great show this evening. First, joining us live in the studio, and we are videotaping so that you can see the interview later on our new Roku station. France Dubin is a native of France and the owner of Bonjour Austin Voyages. guiding fun trips to Paris for independent women. And she also teaches classes with travel tips to France. And she teaches French for adults, and it both individually and in classes. And we're going to be talking about how learning a new language helps to keep your brain young and a few other things. So stay tuned for that. We'll be talking about that with France in just a few moments. And then later in the show, Laura Gelizunis will be back to report in from the retirement paradise south of the border, Puerto Vallarta, Mexico. And musician Alexa Chris will be joining us later to talk about what she's been up to in music, and we'll be playing some of her original music. And I will be talking about the power of forgiveness for your health. And throughout this evening's show, I will have time to take your questions, and our guests will have time to take your questions. So if you have any questions or comments for me or for my guests, please feel free to give a call. The toll-free number is 855-345-4720. That's 855-345-4720. Or you can email or tweet your questions to me, and I will read them on the air to my guests. And my email, again, is drmara, D-R-M-A-R-A, at drmaracarpel.com. That's D-R-M-A-R-A-K-A-R-P-E-L. com, and my Twitter address is M-A-R-A-E-K. Okay, so we're going to take a quick break. Don't go anywhere, because after the break, France Dubin will be right here live in the studio to talk about the benefits of learning a new language to keep our brains young, and maybe we'll learn a few tips about traveling to France.
Yeah, too.
So, don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Super psychologist Dr. Mara Carpel will be back after words from our sponsors.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Worry about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the fact. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential bodywear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com. And have a perky day. Gravity.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpel and your golden years. And I am here with France Dubin, who is a native of France and the founder, owner of Bonjour Austin Voyages, right? And she is a French teacher, and she teaches about traveling to France.
Correct.
And actually leads tours to France.
Yes,
right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about the benefits of learning a new language as an adult, how it's good for your brain, And we might also get some tips about traveling to France and some other things. So welcome, France.
Thank you so much. Bonjour.
Bonjour. Maybe you can talk a little bit about your background.
Sure. So I guess I can start with meeting my husband, which was the start of everything.
Okay.
I met my husband in Paris, France, and he's an American. We got married, and after that, we traveled back and forth between the U.S. and France. We lived in California, in Boston, back in France, had kids, back to Houston, and then Austin. And we have been living in Austin ever since. When we moved to Austin, I had two small kids. My youngest was maybe 3 years old, and it's her teacher in the preschool where she was going that asked me one day, she saw me speaking French to my daughter, and she said, why don't you teach French to all the kids in the school? And I must say that at first I said, I don't know about teaching kids. You know, I'm happy to give you my kid, but I don't know about, you know, having more kids in my life. But
right.
I said yes, and I loved it. And I did that for 10 years, teaching kids. And it really taught me how to make your class exciting. Because, you know, when you teach kids, if you are not lively, and if you don't find subject that interests them, then you lose them, and then it's chaos.
They're bored.
Yes. So it was actually a great learning experience to start with teaching kids. And then maybe 3 years ago, ECC Continuing Education was looking for a French teacher, and I got the email after maybe a month after they sent the email, and I said, yeah, I'm going to try teaching adults, and I loved it. I loved it so much that I actually, this year, for the first time, that I got rid of the kids. And now I'm teaching, only adults, and I love it.
So what is the difference between teaching children and teaching adults?
Well, obviously, when you teach kids, they have a good memory. They don't overthink about learning another language or learning new words. Adults, they are thinking about their own language, trying to make connections. They are a little bit self-conscious about the way they talk. And also, kids, you know, sometimes when you talk to them and they don't understand all the words of your sentence or your question, they make up what they think you said, and they are, in the present. They say, oh, I think she meant this, and they start talking, even though it's not perfect. And adults, they are more reserved, and they want to know every word in the sentence before they put themselves out there. But that being said, adults, they choose to learn the language, so they make time to study. Even, I tell them usually, even if you spend 5 minutes a day, it's wonderful to continue learning French. And also, when we talk, or when I teach them, we talk about subjects that are of interest, that could interest all the adults.
Right. And I think I mentioned to you, I took Spanish classes throughout, from fourth grade on through high school, and I never liked it.
Yes.
Right. Then when I became an adult and I was working, I had moved away for graduate school, and I moved back to New York, and I was working in a nursing home where a lot of the staff were Spanish-speaking from different countries, South America and from Puerto Rico and the Dominican Republic. then I was really interested in learning.
Yeah, that's fun. How, you know, when I talk to my adult student, to know why they are learning French and what they get out of it, which might be, you know, a connection to your neighborhood. Like if your neighborhood is more Spanish speaking, then you see, you communicate more, you feel less isolated. You can try food. You know, I'm talking about French, you know, here because I'm a French teacher, but, you know, they learn how to cook soufflé and they try to read the book of French author and they watch French movies. So really it opens up your world as to, you know, instead of staying in your, you know, in your comfort zone, I might say, learning another language opens up your world.
So it's more fun as an adult.
Yes, I think so. I think it's more fun. And, you know, as you said, when we learn how to speak another language, you know, I did the same thing with English in middle school, and I just hated it. I spent my time hiding from the English teachers. Now I would love to meet him again and, and just to make him look, maybe my English is better than yours. But I just hated speaking, you know, English. But now, so many things have changed. Like we have, with the internet, we have access to French radio station. And we are adults, so we have a little bit of money, and maybe we can treat ourselves with a trip to the French Riviera.
Right.
If we learn the language for a year, we might, you know, get ourselves some little incentive. So it's, you know, really, I really believe that people, that adults who learn another language really get a lot out of it. It's joy.
Yes, it's more enjoyable.
Yes, definitely.
So, and the other aspect of that, and we were talking about that earlier, is that it's really good for the brain. I know there have been a lot of neuropsychological studies about people who learn another language, or even people who are already bilingual as adults, and the benefit to the brain.
Yes, that's correct. You know, as adults, in our day-to-day life, we are not exposed to new things. You know, we know how to talk, we know how to read, we know how to drive our car, ride a bicycle, we know our job well, we read the newspaper, we watch the news. It's all, you know, comfort. I mean, we already know there is nothing new in your life. So learning another language, learning a new vocabulary, a new grammar, a new culture, really, it's like a workout for your brain. You really have to use your focus, you have to use your memory, and it's really... it's really like, you know, we take care as adults. I think that most of us take care of our body. We exercise, we eat well, we have a, you know, we know the good nutrition. We might not follow all all of it, but we know it. We have, you know, hopefully good access to medical care, but we often don't do many things to use our brain. And learning another language, it's a fun way to exercise your brain and make, you know, new
neural connections.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And a lot of, like you said, a lot of studies have shown that recently, because now with the MRI, we can have a picture of what is happening in our brain, you know, before and after learning another language. Recently in the New York Times, I don't know if you've read that article, but the author had an article called The Benefits of Failing French. And he was an adult learner, and he did a cognitive test before and after 1 year of struggling with French, because it's true, it's difficult.
Right.
But he was amazed about all the progress he had made in all the field, like memory and, vocabulary. He was, on the top 20%, whereas
wow.
before the test, he was a little bit depressed by the result he got.
Right. Okay, so it actually, they were able to see the benefits to his
exactly,
brain.
Exactly, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Exactly.
You know, and then you mentioned something about how as adults we're in our comfort zone and we're not learning new things. And when we do things that we already know how to do, we stop developing new neurons. We
yes.
stop growing new neurons. And as you get older, your brain actually shrinks. That's just a natural process that your brain will shrink. But when you're learning new things, you're building new neurons and it keeps your brain
yes.
from shrinking.
Yes, yes.
So,
yeah. So there is that part of, learning French, of
mm-hmm.
using your brain, making new connection in your brain. But also, one other thing that is good for your brain is that when you take a class,
mm-hmm.
you meet new people,
mm-hmm.
and it's social, and that also is good for
that
your brain.
That is also good for
uh-huh.
the brain.
So
right.
It's a win-win
right.
win-win
mm-hmm.
situation.
Right.
You have fun. You use your brain, you make new friends, and, it's a...
And it's a lot more fun to visit a place, a foreign country, if you know some of the language, right?
Yeah, definitely. It's actually, I will say, I don't know if it's, polite to do it, but if you visit another country, let's say you go to France, for example.
Yeah, right.
And I think that people really appreciate if you know a few words in French. And if they see you, struggle with the language, then they will help you because, I think that French people have changed. I think they are a little bit better with...
Okay, I was going to say that must be a new thing.
No, I think they have a little bit better with English.
Okay.
They will help you, but if you start, talking right away in English, and usually when you want to be understood, you talk louder and
mm-hmm.
slower, then people in France, think, what is that, American talking to me very loudly, I have no clue about life.
Right.
So I think, by saying bonjour, comment ça va, how are you, je cherche, I'm looking for, the subway, just little sentences, then it open up,
mm-hmm.
The relationship and your experience visiting this country.
Right, right. And I think that's true in most places, right?
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously I'm talking
yeah.
about France, but
yeah.
in Italy, Spain, any country.
And I think Americans have the idea that everybody speaks English, so I'm just going to go everywhere and speak English.
Yeah,
and...
maybe if I will not say anything about this subject.
Yeah, I could say it. But I did have some difficulty in France, as I mentioned to you. That was quite a while ago. That was about 30-something years ago when I went to France with my parents and we tried to speak the language. And what we found mostly in Paris, outside in the countryside, people were much more tolerant of our inability to speak well. They appreciated that we at least tried.
Yes.
But in Paris, they were very upset that we just didn't get it right.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that might be true. But things have changed, I think.
And probably because you have a lot more people
yes.
in Paris from other parts of the world.
Yes, yes.
Right. I think when we were there, there weren't that many
yes. no,
foreigners there. Yeah.
Definitely. You should come back.
Yes, I'd like to go back.
First, take a class with me.
Yeah. And hopefully they're more tolerant of healthier eating styles there than they were back then.
What do you mean?
Well, we would ask them not to put the sauce on the food.
On the food?
Because my parents were on low salt
diet.
Oh,
I see. Yes, yeah, yes.
And we had a couple of waiters tell us, no, I cannot tell the chef that because he will be very upset.
Yes. I'm not sure things have changed. I like to say, you know, when I met my husband, we decided to live together, and so I told my family, I said, look, you know, I'm going to live with that man, and before I introduce him to you, I want to, you know, say a few things about him. And I said, well, he's American, so that, you know, my parents were big lefties, so anyway, he's American. He's a little bit older than me. He's Jewish, and he's
vegetarian. That's funny.
So food, you know, French people are very...
very rich food.
Yes, very rich food, maybe not, but we are very... Like, everybody has, you know, his own idea about food. Like, we take food very seriously. And if you want to change, like, something, then that might not be possible.
That might not be possible. But I would imagine, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, that eating healthier, eating more vegetables, and eating lighter food has even caught on in France.
Yes. Mm-hmm. No, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So you could eat food that's not necessarily covered in sauce or gravy or...
Yes, you can. Good luck. No. Well, you know, when you travel, you go to a restaurant, right? When you are a tourist, and in any cities, if you go to New York, if you go to Chicago, I'm like this after eating at restaurant. So I completely, you know, get, that's one of the reasons actually when I do my tour for, you know, independent women, we rent an apartment because I want to have access to a kitchen. It's very important for me to, you know, first of all, to go grocery shopping because I think it's a big part of visiting a country, meeting the, you know, the... going to the bakery, going to buy your cheese, your wine, and then cooking at home, I think it's key to good traveling.
Mm-hmm.
You want to feel, you know, good. Already you can't exercise. I mean, also, you know,
right.
For me, exercising is important. So you can't exercise when you travel, so you should have access to, you know, fresh food, salads, fruits, and having, you know, a kitchen is, I think, key to... a good state.
So maybe you can talk a little bit about that, since we don't have too much time, but I wanted to get to the discussion about your classes on tips for traveling to France.
Yes.
Maybe you
So what I'm doing, so I'm teaching French at ACC Continuing Education. I'm going to teach a four-week class in June about French for travelers, so which will be... you know, some cultural tips as well as vocabulary that you need, you know, if you get lost, if you are sick, if you order restaurant, if you want to have, you know, anything that you might think of.
Where is the bathroom?
Exactly. Both eating and bathroom.
Okay. Right.
and then I'm teaching a two-hour class at UT informal classes about tips to help you to travel to France. So in that two-hour class, I, you know, can't teach you French, but I can teach you how to take a train ticket in France, how the subway works, how, for example, you know, how in France we don't tip, we don't leave a tip at restaurants. Little information that will make your stay easier because you already would have an idea of what to do and what not to do. So it's like a two-hour class at UT, informal classes.
Okay.
And then in September at ACC in Austin, Continuing Education, I'm going back to teaching French again.
Okay. I did just get a question on the computer asking, what is the biggest group that you can plan for, I guess, for traveling to France?
So it's five women.
Five women.
Yes. So that will be, I can go with one person. I can spend, so it's a week long. I can go with one person or with a group of five people because we're going to stay in an apartment.
Uh-huh.
So I need, a lot of bedrooms. It's not going to be like a hotel where you can, have 10 rooms because
right.
we are going to share, the kitchen, the bedroom, not share the bedrooms, but it's going to be a small group.
Right.
Plus, I want, a small group because I think it's more fun. And also during the group, I want women to have the option to stay with me and visit a museum if they want to. But also, I think that it's very important when you travel to be by yourself a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So, like, if you want to spend a morning alone or an afternoon, walking through Paris, staying at a cafe and watch people by yourself, I think that really, spending a few hours by yourself in a foreign country, it's very, how can I say? It's very... a good experience. Like you learn a lot because you are not always in contact. Yes, in conversation. You are like a
spirit. Right. Another question.
Another question.
Okay. No, I think it's just.
So I'm leading it. So it's an independent woman because I want the woman to be, in a secure environment, in an apartment with a small group, but also that allows for the woman to be independent. And if they want to spend a day and go to Reims to visit the Champagne place, then I will help them to take their train ticket, but they can go by themselves, come back to the apartment and tell us about the Champagne region and hopefully bring us a bottle of champagne.
Very nice. So before we, wind up this, do you have a couple of tips for people who are traveling to, a preview maybe of your class about tips for traveling to France?
About tips, well, usually I show, maps and what you do when you arrive at the airport and how the public transportation works. How, for example, when you get into the subway, you need your ticket, but you need to keep your ticket, all the way until you exit the metro, the subway system.
Okay, because so don't just toss it out.
Exactly, don't just go... get in and throw it out because there is a good chance that you might be asked to show that ticket. And if you don't have it, then you are going to have to, pay a fine. So little things like this that you need to know.
Okay. Those are important things.
Yes. Access to, restaurants. Like how in America, it's very easy to go into a, Starbucks or a restaurant and use the restroom even though you might not be a customer. Well, in France, not so much.
Kind of like New York.
So they might, you might have to, drink, ask for an espresso or a coffee, which you might end up having an espresso. And then you can use the restroom.
Right. Okay. So those also, do they still have the very strict times for eating? And perhaps because that was our experience, the tour kept bringing us to a town in between meal times, and all we could get was like a ham sandwich.
Yeah, that's true. That for us, you have meal time and. Then in between meals, you don't snack all the time or, restaurant will be closed during, maybe they close after, 2 p.m. or 3 p.m. and then they open again.
So that would be an important tip.
Yes.
And what time those meal times.
Yes,
it's probably
yes,
later.
Yes,
right.
Yes.
The dinners are later. And
yeah. We usually eat around 7 to 8 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, like for example, stores, not in Paris because it's you know, a big city, but if you go to a small city in France, usually stores close between noon to 2 because people are at lunch.
Mm-hmm.
So you might want to have your lunch and dinner just like any French person and then go shopping
right.
after when the store is open again.
So those are important things
yes.
to know,
yes.
right?
Yes.
Otherwise you could end up very hungry.
Yes. And also when you go to a restaurant also you want to ask for the check at the end. Like in America, you know, as soon as you start eating, they just give you the... You know, often they give you the check and you say, oh, what about the dessert? I didn't.
Right.
But in France, you're going to have, you know, dessert, coffee, and you can talk. And, you know, if you don't ask for the check, you might, you know, be still at the restaurant at 3 p.m. because really it's important to take your time to
mm-hmm.
eat. And if you don't ask for the check, they don't bring it. They think, oh, he's still talking, still enjoying his food.
Right.
So little things. And I do also, you know, private classes.
Uh-huh.
I actually have some students at retirement or independent living here in Austin. And it's, you know, a good way. They usually can't drive. So I go to the
to their
place. And it's a good way also to, you know, going back to using your brain. It's a good way to, you know, still be active and learn your brain. And I love my classes there. So
yeah, and a good way to also kind of leave the environment
yes.
for a little while and
uh-huh.
make believe that
yes.
you're in a
yes.
foreign
yeah.
country.
I'm gonna cook crepes with one of my students.
Very
in the
nice.
Independent living.
Very
I try
nice.
To make it fun. I like to have fun myself, so I try to, you know, make it fun. Like, you know, I teach swearing in French that I really love.
So if people want to find out about your classes and French language or travel
yes.
to France with you or find out about travel tips to France, and I understand you also do some wine tasting.
Yes, yes.
How can they contact you?
Yes, so the best way is maybe to send me an email, and my email address is francedubin@gmail.com, so I can spell it for you if you want.
Okay.
So France, it's like the country, and it's my real name. So it's FranceDub, as in boy, IN, at gmail.com. I also have a website for the for traveling. It's bonjouraustin.com. So BonJourAustin,
okay.
like Austin.com. And I can, you know, send you information. If you send me an email, and I think it might be on your website, I can, you know, send you information about my classes at ACC, my private classes, and also I teach, you know, online. If somebody wants to take a French class that doesn't live in Austin, I can, you know, definitely teach French online.
Great,
great.
And I will be posting these on my website later tonight or early tomorrow morning so people can just go to my website on the post about this show and click on the link and it'll all be there. Take them right to the...
Thank you.
So thank you so much for...
Thank you for merci. Having me. Merci.
Merci beaucoup.
Très bien. Merci beaucoup. Thank you. Having me.
Yes, and I'd love to have you come back on the show again, and maybe we can talk about wine tasting.
Yeah, the wine tasting. Yeah, I would love to because, the workshop that I do is about wine tasting for women. Also, I like women, you know, I have women groups, and it's how to enjoy your wine without the, you know, the seriousness of it.
Great.
You know, like, you know, being mindful about drinking your wine, but not, you know, if you don't smell the pineapple in the aroma, then it's okay.
It's okay. You can still enjoy it.
Exactly.
All right. Well, thank you again.
Thank you so much.
And we're going to take a quick break, and after the break, we have lots.
If you despise bra shopping in the stores, have a complimentary bra fitting at your home or office. It's so convenient. And with 13 styles, including a no-wire bra and 52 sizes A through H cup, Sonia Das, the bra lady, has the bra that's just right for you. What are you waiting for? Call to schedule your personal fitting today and find out what all the ladies love about essential bodywear. Call 512-981-8788 or preview the products at haveaperkyday.com and have a perky day. Gravity.
Are you or a loved one a Medicare beneficiary? Help save you and Medicare money by stopping Medicare fraud. Fraud happens when Medicare is billed for services or supplies you never receive. There are three easy things you can do to fight fraud. Review your Medicare claims for accuracy, protect your personal information, and be on the lookout for suspicious activity. For more information or to report fraud, call Medicare at 1-800-MEDICARE or your local SHIP counselor at the Area Agency on Aging at 1-800-252-9240.
Worried about memory loss? Dr. Ronald DeVere, certified neurologist and director of Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders in Lakeway, has been helping those with dementia and memory loss for over 12 years, specializing in the diagnosis, treatment, and counseling of those with memory loss and dementia. Dr. DeVere also has a book to reduce your worry and fear by knowing the facts. Memory loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask, available now on Amazon.com. Dr. Ronald DeVere, Alzheimer's disease and memory disorders center in Lakeway, and his book, Memory Loss, everything you want to know but forget to ask. For more information or to schedule an appointment, call 512-261-7909.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Carpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Carpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Carpel in your golden years right here on drmaracarpel.com and blogtalkradio.com. And just before I talk a little bit about forgiveness, I'm going to talk, just fill you in on the news. So as I mentioned, we were videotaping that interview that we just did with Franz Dubin, and we have been videotaping all of the interviews that have been live here in the studio since the beginning of this year, and we are getting closer to having our Roku station. We've edited some of the videos, and we will let you know. You could just stay tuned here. Check out my Facebook page, Dr. Mara Carpel, Your Golden Years, and you'll know when you can actually watch those on Roku, which is internet television. Meanwhile, we have already uploaded two YouTube videos that were three minute interviews before we went on air with, and those are uploaded to my YouTube page, and you can find those on my website, Dr. Mara Carpel, Your Golden Years, and just click on videos, and you'll see all of my YouTube videos there. And if you haven't read my latest blog in Huffington Post, you can find that on my website as well. Just click on publications or click on blogs, and my most recent blog was a two-part series on women finding our voice and power. And keep your eye open because I have a new blog coming up very soon. So you can find out here, or you can just check out my website or, again, my Facebook page, and you'll find out when that blog is posted on Huffington Post. And so now let me talk a bit about forgiveness, because forgiveness is one of the most powerful ways of loving ourselves, and it is a crucial element in living joyfully and experiencing joyful, loving relationships. Many of us hold on to a lot of negativity and grudges towards other people and towards ourselves, and have a hard time forgiving, and that weighs us down. And Louise Hay, who is a best-selling author and a publisher, she has written a book called Experience Your Good Now, among other books. And in her book, she wrote, "Forgiveness opens our hearts to self-love. That person who is the hardest to forgive is the one who can teach you the greatest lessons. When you love yourself enough to rise above the old situation, then understanding and forgiveness will be easy and you'll be free." So again, it's really easy to say that it's important to forgive, but very often it's difficult to put this into practice. And many of us have held on to resentments towards people who may no longer be in our lives, as well as people who may continue to play important roles in our lives, and we continue to resent them. In order to create positive relationships with those people who are still in our lives, and even people who we don't hold resentment towards who are in our lives, we need to find forgiveness, because we end up projecting a lot of our resentments onto other people who are in our lives. And if we're going to continue a relationship with somebody who we hold resentment towards, and we choose not to forgive them, or we don't work at forgiving them, that relationship will continue to bring us pain, and we will continue to bring pain to those people. What would be the point then of continuing a relationship if we're just going to create more pain and hurt for them and for ourselves by being around them? Without doing this, we continue to create pain for ourselves by holding on to the burden of anger and resentment and weighing ourselves down. We're essentially punishing ourselves when we don't forgive. Recently, I read this story, like a fairy tale kind of story, that told about two Buddhist monks who belonged to a group where they were not allowed, these were two men, and they were not allowed to touch women. They were celibate, but they couldn't even touch women. And so these two Buddhist monks were going on a long journey on foot. One was an older monk and one was a younger monk. And along the journey, they had to cross a river. And so they crossed the river on foot, got to the other side of the river, and heard a young woman yelling for help on the other side of the river from where they had just come from. And when they turned around, they told her that she was afraid to cross the river, that she couldn't. She was afraid she might drown, and she couldn't cross without help. So the older monk went back across the river and picked up the young woman, who was very light, and he carried her up the river, put her down when they got to the other side, and continued his journey with the younger monk. And the two of them kept walking in silence for several hours. It had been about 5 hours. When the younger monk, who had been fuming apparently during this time and holding resentment towards the older monk, turned to the older monk and said, "I can't believe that you did that." And the older monk asked him, "What are you talking about?" And he said, "We're not supposed to touch women, and you picked up that woman and carried her across the water." And the older monk said to him, "I put her down 5 hours ago, but apparently you're still carrying her." And it's like that with grudges, isn't it? Somebody might have done something to us that was wrong, or we felt that it was wrong, and it might have been 20 years ago, and we still carry it with us. If we don't forgive them, we are still carrying whatever it is that we felt that they did wrong to us, and it may have been a wrong thing. It may be realistic. But if we don't forgive, we continue to carry it, and we continue to punish ourselves, and it continues to weigh us down. Oprah Winfrey wrote, "Forgiveness is letting go so that the past does not hold you prisoner." And another anonymous author wrote, "If you carry the bricks from your past relationship to the new one, you will only build the same house." So not only does it weigh us down, but it causes us to bring the old resentments into new relationships that we're trying to establish. And as I mentioned earlier, we end up projecting onto that new person our old resentments. So it ends up interfering. We notice that they might be doing something that reminds us of that previous person's behavior. We become suspicious. We become angry even if they haven't done anything. We're waiting for them to do something wrong because we haven't forgiven that initial behavior from this person who may not even be in our lives anymore. And, you know, many people, when you talk about forgiveness, will say that they don't want to forgive someone because they feel has done them wrong, because they feel that if they let go of that resentment and actually forgive that person, then they would be condoning that behavior and making themselves vulnerable for someone else to hurt them. So, you know, I think it's great for somebody to make the decision to not put up with that behavior anymore, but you need to know that there's a big difference between forgiveness and approval of poor treatment. And just because you decide to forgive someone doesn't mean that you need to ever see that person again. And again, as I mentioned, if you've decided to stay in a relationship with that person, then, you know, even if the hurtful event happened a long time ago and that person has changed their ways, if you don't forgive them, then you're going to keep expecting them to do something wrong, or you're not going to be able to build a very strong relationship with them because you feel so angry at and hurt. So forgiveness doesn't mean that you won't set limits about how you want to be treated from here on out. It means allowing yourself to be free of that anger and allowing your relationship to be free of that anger. So forgiveness is really all about you. It's about making the decision to release the anger and the resentment that burns up your energy and keeps you stuck. It's about increasing your own ability to feel joyful and peaceful. And it's even about improving your own health, because holding on to anger has been linked to many health issues, including cardiac problems. And chronic back pain, believe it or not, has been linked to anger. George Prensky wrote in his book, The Relationship Handbook, "People think of forgiveness as a generous act, but it is actually very self-serving. If you have painful memories, you suffer. They're like little burrs that rub your skin every time the memories are stimulated. Getting rid of the burrs so your wounds can heal is really being nice to yourself." And, you know, I can tell you, I've seen it for myself, that as soon as I'm able to forgive, I feel like a weight has been lifted off my shoulders and I'm free to move forward in my life. And I can see that when I've held on to anger and resentment, it's just kept me living in the past, reliving old hurt. And that's not a place where I want to live my life. And I think you need to ask, is that a place where you want to live your life? So how do we forgive? Well, first of all, just having the intention to forgive is probably the most powerful step toward moving forward in releasing pain and enjoying your life. So just saying, I want to forgive, is a huge first step. It's pretty significant. The next step is acknowledging your responsibility for your own healing. So just notice the negative results of holding a particular grudge, such as your own emotional pain, perhaps even physical illness, and it might help to find someone you trust to talk about it. It might be a friend or a mental health practitioner, a therapist. Writing in a journal can be helpful. Recent studies have shown that writing in journal can be very powerful in reducing stress and improving health. So taking responsibility for your healing, doing what it takes to help yourself feel better, and then be willing to take a new perspective about the person whom you're trying to forgive, and that is make an effort to see where they're coming from in their own life. So this is, again, it's not about making excuses for any hurtful behavior they might have engaged in, but it's instead realizing that people hurt others when they've been hurt themselves or when they don't know better, when they don't realize that they're hurting someone. A famous saying by Oprah, again, is when you know better, you do better. And she's had several shows, in fact, on her station about people who have been hurt by somebody in their lives, and even her, how she's been hurt, and then later on, how that, you know, when that person knew better and was able to ask for forgiveness, she was able to forgive because she realized when you know better, you do better, and she gave them the opportunity to do better. So having that awareness that people sometimes don't know better when they hurt you is a big part of forgiveness. And forgiveness is the act of seeing with understanding. When we forgive, we come to peace with ourselves and the painful thoughts that have been sitting in our minds, tormenting us. And forgiveness is the act of seeing those thoughts and understanding the humanity of the other. And that was written by George Pransky. And he wrote, when we understand that every misguided action is accompanied by an insecure state of mind, the more misguided the action, the greater the insecurity and fear, then we move closer to forgiveness and to peace with ourselves and the painful thoughts that have been sitting in our minds and tormenting us. So I'm gonna stop here because I think, you know, I have a few more tips. Some of them are a little bit more in-depth about actual processes and steps you can take towards forgiveness. One of them is an ancient Hawaiian ritual for forgiveness. So I'm going to stop here and continue next week when we have more time and talk about some of these processes for forgiving. So, and after we come back, Laura Galazunas is joining us from the retirement paradise, Puerto Vallarta. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
the frigate flying so high now shows a man where to fish. Watch Vicente, he lies in his hammock, teaches tourists how to live, and he knows how to live. Hear the thunder high in that mountain, watch the clouds rolling in. Senorita, they dance on that.
And we're back. If you're just joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel in your golden years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream at podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And now joining us on the phone from beautiful Puerto Vallarta, Mexico, Laura Gelazunas.
Hi, how are you today?
Good, how are you? How are things in paradise?
Things are getting a little warm these days.
Oh, really? Already getting warm,
temperatures are warming up. Well, I would say it's getting a little more humid.
So, this is the beginning.
Things are slowing down a little.
Yeah. So all of the winter visitors have left, aren't they? Haven't they?
A good portion of them have, yes. So a lot of people have closed up their houses, or have found renters for the summer, and they have flown north.
So are there still retirees down there? There are quite a few that are there year round, aren't there?
Yeah, there's estimates somewhere around 30,000.
Okay.
That are here year-round. But there's plenty of stuff going on.
Okay. So it's not totally dead for them.
Oh, definitely not. There are still shows and workshops and stuff at the local theater, live entertainment theater. So they're doing all kinds of things there. They have karaoke parties. They're going to have general auditions. They're having a casting call for some of the upcoming productions. They have movie, music, sing-alongs. They do, you know, different kinds of things like that. They're also having some vocal classes if you're interested in learning how to sing better. So they're going to have workshops there as well.
Okay.
So the theater is alive for those who are so inclined. And there's still a few things coming up as well. There's always fundraisers here. The Altruism Festival is May the 8th. And there's about a dozen restaurants who bring food, and you get to sample food from all these restaurants. Then there are 20 charities this year that will benefit from the event. So they will each have a booth as well, telling you, you know, what they're working on, what they do, if some charities you may have never heard of. So it'll give you a chance to talk to the people who work with that charity. So there's 20 different ones there. And there will also be some live entertainment and live music.
Okay. And that is on May the 8th.
Mm-hmm. At the Marriott in the marina.
Okay.
So that's going on. What else is going on? A couple of little things. Trying to think of what else. We've got that. The Friday Foodies group is starting up again. People who are here year-round are like, well, hey, stuff needs to go on. So there's a group sometimes as large as 40, and reservations need to be made in advance. You get put on an email list. And they pick a different restaurant to go to. And sometimes there's a discounted menu or, you know, certain specials for the group. So that starts this week. The new El Dorado opened up. Again, it's been many things since it was sold years ago. And the owners are the owners of La Palapa and Vista Grill. The Perez family has bought it.
Okay.
And they've done a little bit of remodeling and have brought back some of the old favorites, because the El Dorado has been on the beach, on Los Muertos Beach, forever, and They're going to bring some of the old favorites back. Haven't been there yet, so they've been open for a couple weeks now.
Okay.
So I will be going. Yeah, that's the first Friday foodie night, so you can sign up and get on that. The expats have continuing events through the summer as well. They also have special dinner nights, happy hours.
That's expats in Vallarta, right?
Yeah, expatsinvallarta.com, and they have ongoing events through the summer. Not as many as they do during the winter season, but they still have, you know, ongoing. They have house parties sometimes. They have happy hours. They have coffees in the morning and three different things like that.
Okay.
So that goes all the way through the summer as well, and you can check out their website, expatsinvallarta.com. And see what's going on with them as well. So a lot of people live here year-round. Not everybody goes home.
Right. Right. Yeah, and the people who do live there year-round are pretty active people.
Oh, definitely, just because it gets a little warmer and the streets are not as crowded. Yes, you can still find parking spots now. And you know, your charity work doesn't stop just because the season, the winter season stops.
Right, right. So most of the expats are retirees.
Yes. Some of us still have to work, though, so.
Right. Right. You're not a retiree.
I am not a retiree, so.
That's for sure. But many of the expats down there that are year-round are retirees. But very busy.
Very, very busy. Everybody can, you know, you stay as busy as you want to stay.
Right. Right.
So you don't have to get, you don't have to do anything at all, or you can do other things. There are still classes going on, art classes. There's always yoga classes, meditation classes, you name it, you can find it. Cooking classes. You know, you can stay as busy or as unbusy as you want. And you can also brush up on your Spanish.
Yeah. Actually, the guest on this evening's show teaches French. And but we were talking in general about how learning a new language is extremely beneficial for the brain. So, and that learning a language in the country that you're visiting is really a very good thing to do, right?
Well, yeah, it definitely helps you. I mean, a lot of, you can't get by without knowing any Spanish down here, but, you know, if you make the effort, then you know what people are saying. It just helps you out. And Mexicans really appreciate it if at least you're trying to speak some Spanish.
Right. Right, and that's what we were talking about, you know, how you go to another country, at least if you know the important things to say, then people really appreciate that you're trying. But it also opens up a whole new world for you when you can speak the language and you know what's going on.
That's very important. So it'll make you feel more confident when you're doing something, you know, from going to the grocery store to going to the doctor, you know.
Right, right. And it makes it more fun, I would imagine.
Oh, definitely. People make fun of my Spanish all the time.
But
it's not all that good.
Yeah, but you can have more fun because you know what's going on and you can, you know, you can enjoy the conversation and the culture, if you can understand at least a little bit of the language, even if you're not perfectly fluent, even if people do laugh at how you speak.
No, I think it's very important to try to learn some Spanish. And there
and
are many different courses and places you can go take Spanish.
What I found down there when I was in Mexico was, you know, I studied Spanish throughout elementary school, junior high, and high school. And I didn't, you know, I forgot it all because I didn't really use it in conversation. It was all classroom.
Right, right.
But that stuff, some of those words were stuck in my brain that way back in the recesses of my brain, and I didn't even know that they were there until I actually was in Mexico and had to use some of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that when I used the little bit of Spanish that I remembered, even if I didn't say things perfectly well and might have used very poor grammar or might have used some wrong words, that everybody was very forgiving.
Oh, definitely, because at least you're trying.
Right, right.
And
I had conversations with people who only spoke Spanish, and they
mm-hmm.
would try to speak English while I tried to speak Spanish. And between us attempting to speak each other's language and a lot of hand gestures, we actually communicated.
hand gestures, very important. That's why it's so difficult. You're like, well, my Spanish isn't so bad until I get on the phone.
Right.
Because there are no accompanying hand gestures and motions
right.
to go with it. So it makes
right.
it a little difficult.
Yeah, yeah. But people were very nice about it. I found that, you know, they appreciated that I was speaking Spanish, and they really wanted to learn how to speak English. So it
mm-hmm.
was an opportunity for them as well to practice their English.
Yes, definitely. You can have whole
mm-hmm.
conversations with people. That, oh, no, I want to speak. I want to try my English, and I'll use my Spanish.
Uh-huh.
And you're both trying really hard.
Right.
Most of the time, you figure out what you're trying to say.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, as long as you're not picky about grammar and saying things
mm-hmm.
perfectly, then everything is, and it's fun.
Mhm. Oh, for
yeah.
sure.
Mhm. So Laura, if people are interested in finding housing for next high season, which is next winter, are there still places available?
There are still places available. Now would be a good time to look if you're so inclined to do so.
Mhm.
But I have switched real estate companies, and I'm no longer doing rentals.
Okay.
So
they can't contact you about a rental.
No, I'm no longer. I am strictly doing sales now.
Okay.
But if they're looking to buy a property, condo, or a house, they can go. I work at Boardwalk Realty now.
Boardwalk
Realty. TV.com.
TV.
So I've changed.
Like Puerto
yeah.
Vallarta.
Right.
Okay. So looking to buy, contact BoardwalkRealtyPV.com.
Yes. I'm not on
okay.
the website yet. Getting there. Just started working there a few days ago.
Okay. So
but now,
now can people find rentals if they go online to like the Banderas News? Do they list rentals?
They have some. You know, as a person who's renting, I would really do your homework. You know, you can go on sites like VRBO and Airbnb, you know, and do your homework. You know,
mm-hmm.
most of them have very good photos of the properties. And a lot of times, even if you are down here, you cannot see the, you know, place you want to rent because renters are living in it. And a lot of people
right.
don't want people running through their house. So
right.
that part's really important to remember as well. And if you work with the owner directly, then you can possibly save yourself some money because then the owner doesn't have to pay a commission to the rental agency, which can be,
mm-hmm.
which is typically 20%, believe it or not.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, and you can negotiate too. I mean, I wouldn't ask somebody to take, you know, 50% off the price they're asking per night. But if you're renting, say, you know, long-term, say 4, 5, 6 months, you can typically get a discount because you'll be renting long-term.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it's
okay.
a good thing to remember. And everything's online now. You know, and some of the things,
right.
having worked in the real estate industry for some time, if there aren't good photos or there's not a photo of the inside of the apartment, then, you know, kind of renter beware.
Right, right.
Yeah.
You know, just use your common sense. Why aren't they showing me photos of the living room and the kitchen and the bedroom?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm glad I got this great view, but you still have
right.
to sleep and live there.
Exactly. So if people want to know what's going on in Vallarta, where can they go?
They can go. I have a YouTube channel, and that can be reached through tvpuertovallarta.com.
Mm-hmm.
And they can also go to banderasnews.com, BanderasNews.com. That's the only website in Banderas Bay that is updated daily.
Okay.
So they can get all the news all around the bay, all the events, news, and other things going on.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Laura. Stay cool there in paradise.
That's a little toasty today, just a little on the toasty side today.
Yeah. Drink a lot of water.
Doing that. And it was cloudy today, too, so not even a good pool day.
Mm-mm. So will we talk again in 2 weeks?
Definitely. There's always something going on down here.
All right. Well, you have a good night.
You too.
Thank you.
Okay, and we'll see you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, stick around. After the break, musician Alexa Chris joins us, and we're playing some of her original music. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Holding me closely, I feel you breathing. Nothing compares to the feeling in your arms. Whenever you kiss me, I believe that I belong with the beating of your heart. I will wait forevermore.
Joining us, this is Dr. Mara Karpel and your Golden Years on Blog Talk Radio and on live stream and podcast at drmarakarpel.com. And we were just listening to the music of Alexa Chris, who is joining us now on the phone from Nebraska. Good evening, Alexa.
Hello, how are you?
I am good. I just want to let you know when we speak like this, there's a slight delay.
Okay.
Okay. So, Alexa, I'm right? You're in Nebraska right now?
Yes, that's right. I am based out of Kearney, Nebraska.
All right. So maybe you can let our listeners know a little bit about your musical history.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on the show tonight. I've been listening, and it's been super interesting, all of the people that have been on this evening.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that you're enjoying
it. So I am a pop rock singer-songwriter. I'm based in Kearney, Nebraska. And a little bit about my history of singing. I started out singing, professionally when I was about 10, 11 years old. And I'm 21 now. I'm a student at the university here in Kearney. And I just enjoy singing. I'm actually putting together my first national tour that I will be going on this June, and we're hitting the Midwest here, and I'll actually be in Austin on June 23rd. So quite the deal. So yeah,
great, great. Where will you be playing on June 21st?
It's June 23rd actually, and
it
is in That's a good question, actually. I have my schedule right here. I know. There's so many dates. It's hard to keep everything straight. I will be playing at the Driscoll Hotel Bar.
Oh, okay.
I've never been there. I'm sorry. It's actually the 24th. Gosh.
The June 24th at the Driscoll.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's a landmark. We can actually see it right from the studio here.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah.
Cool.
So are you studying music right now at the university?
I'm actually majoring in exercise science with a minor in nutrition. So it is not directly music related, but I found a lot of parallels as far as overall wellness and health, you know, in pursuing anybody's goals and dreams. You got to be healthy to do that. And I've always had a passion for that. So that's what my major is.
Okay. All right. We talk a lot about that on this program.
I noticed that. I looked back a little bit, and I listened to a little bit of I believe it was a wellness coach or something a couple weeks ago. So, yeah, I've noticed that theme. That's really cool.
Yeah. So do you have any CDs that you've put out? Have you recorded any CDs?
I do. Last summer I released my first EP in the pop rock genre. And so that was a huge project. I got to record that down in Nashville at the Sound Kitchen. And so that is available on iTunes and on my website, just alexachris.com. And I guess a little bit more history about myself. I do have two other CDs that are in the traditional country realm. So when I started out singing when I was really little, some of the places that were available to me to sing were traditional country music festivals. And so my parents took me to all these festivals, and that's really where I learned how to pick up my guitar and write music and play music live. And so I do have a strong passion for the traditional country and the gospel. And I actually yodel, which is what I was really well known for before the pop rock genre, but so I do have two of those CDs, and those are available as well. So,
okay, on your website.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So we just played one of your songs that you sent to us. Was that For Life?
That was For Life. Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, For Life is your basic sappy love song. I wrote that one, I want to say about 2 years ago now. And I do a lot of my songwriting in the middle of the night, as I'm sure a lot of musicians do. I don't know what it is about being a musician and being a night owl, but that one just came together. I was playing with a new pedal that I had and you know, I really just put my heart into those lyrics for my now fiance. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was a real life situation.
Yes, yes. And I tried to do that in my songwriting. You know, the more experiences that I have, the easier it is to do that. When I first started writing, it was hard to relate to a lot of things. I didn't have as many of those experiences to write about. So it's fun as that as I grow in the songwriting realm of things.
Yeah, yeah. So we're going to play another one of your songs, Pretty Little Thing. can you tell us about that before we play it?
Yes. So this is one of those that, as I just mentioned, I don't have a lot of experiences with. And so a lot of times I like to write songs that are pretty general and can apply to a bunch of different situations. And I actually wrote this one just for the EP that I released last summer. And so this one is not as personal.
Okay.
So which I do often too. But yes, it's basically about and I say a girl because, like I said, it's not quite as specific to a situation, but basically being somebody's pretty little thing.
Okay. All right. Well, we're going to play that song, so don't go anywhere, okay? Stay on the line.
Okay.
We're going to play the song, Alexa Chris, Pretty Little Thing. All right, Alexa Chris, Pretty Little Thing. That's quite a different style than the first song, huh?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I like it.
Thank you.
So, Alexa, if people want to see where you're playing and along your tour, download your music or buy your CDs, where can they do that?
Well, my website has all of that, and that's just AlexaChris with a K, .com. And my music is also available on iTunes, and you can also hear it on Spotify. So my tour schedule is right there on my website, and a little bit of my bio and everything is there as well.
All right.
And you can also, of course, follow my social networking. So on Facebook and Twitter, it's just Alexa Chris as well.
Okay. So I'm going to post the links to those sites on my post about this show on my website. So if people didn't have their pen and paper ready, they can just go to my website and click on it later tonight or early tomorrow morning. Yeah. So thank you so much, Alexa, for being on the show, and good luck with your tour. I hope to get to see you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, well, you have a very good night, and good luck in school.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right. You take care now.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, so we have come to the end of another show already. Before we go off the air, let me let everybody know what's happening next week. Next Sunday, April 24th, we will be back here live in Austin, Texas, 5 p.m. Central Time. And joining us in the studio once again is Alzheimer's Go, who is the executive director of the Alzheimer's Assisted Living Facility, Arden Court. And Nancy has specialized in motivating people with Alzheimer's disease through the use of music and meaningful activities. And she'll be joining us to talk about coping mechanisms for families, realistic expectations for families, family members regarding their loved ones' Alzheimer's disease, and some new legislation in the works for Alzheimer's. So this will be very interesting and very informative and new information. So tune in for that, and we will have more. And if you want to hear tonight's program again and read the information from this show, see all of the website links talked about by the guests on the show, then go to my website, drmarakarpel.com. That's drmarakarpel.com. And also be sure to follow me on Facebook, Dr. Mara Karpel, Your Golden Years. This evening's program was produced by Accomplice Entertainment, Postal Productions, and Psyched Up Productions, and sponsored by neurologist and memory specialist, Dr. Ronald DeVere, by Sonia Das, the Bra Lady, and by StoryHouse. And special thanks to my guests, France Dubin, Alexa Chris, Laura Gilazunas, and of course, thank you, Art, and thank you all for listening. Have a peaceful night and inspiring week. And remember, youth has no age. Good night, everyone.
Holding me closely, I feel you breathing. Nothing compares to the feeling in your arms. Whenever you kiss me, I believe that I belong with the beating of your heart.
Any guidance offered by Dr. Karpel is not intended to replace the advice of your own physician or mental health specialist. Neither Dr. Karpel, her sponsors, nor this station assumes responsibility for the misuse of any of the information given on this show.